All I got to say is let's tag along the recovering alcoholic to the beer exchange.
Yeah, right, right.
Jeez, what's going on around here?
Hello, everybody. We're back with the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Brian. You'll notice, of course, that Russ is not with us. Lord Taco. He's not camping, I don't think. I think he's at like a family reunion event.
I was going to say, isn't he over the hills and through the, what is it, river to grandmother's house?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. And good for him. So he's taking the week off. So you and I are going to do our best to carry through.
I think we'll be able to keep it together. Now, everything that happens once we stop this portion, then I'm lost. So without
people
him,
don't understand that third square with him just staring. He does a whole lot after.
It's an incredible lot. So
he does an amazing amount of work.
And just to like as we say, inside baseball, when you're going back and editing these kinds of things, when you're right there, it's a lot easier afterwards because you're there and you can keep notes if you want to. And I'm not sure what his process is. But like, hey, here's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Have fun with it, man.
Go.
Now you got to go all through it. It's exhaustive, so we wouldn't be able to do it without him.
No, and he loves it, and he told me that 3 or 4 times at Bonnaroo. I don't know if he pulled you aside and said, I just want you to know, I really like doing this. So
I'm glad. I think he'll grow out of that. I used to love editing and putting things together just for fun. I still don't. It's not laying brick. You know, I still like doing it.
Yeah.
But boy, does it get tedious. And every now and again, I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Because it's not that it's super, super hard. Well, it is. You have to have a technical understanding, but it's just tedious and it can take a while. But so he does a great work.
He does a great and we appreciate it. It's two things for me. I love it, but it's when I have to go learn, when I have to stop and go to YouTube and learn how to use, you know, Adobe or whatever. Then I'm
down a rabbit hole
and I lose my mind.
Yeah. I don't know when the age hit that learning started to stop, but it's starting to happen to me. Yeah. I used to pick up on things quicker.
So I was going to start with you and I have a mutual friend, radio guy, who says planning is for dullards.
Yeah.
Our friend Jeff Styles. And that's sort of where I want to start with, because I think this week we thought, I probably at one point said, was going to be the Gore interview or some such. It's not. We're going to go ahead and flip things and do the interview that we did on the Real Rue Bus with a whole bunch of very familiar, if you listen to this show or any show, or you go to Bonnaroo on the regular, you're going to recognize a whole lot of people. It's one of my favorite things, and it's what I was most looking forward to. We'll get to that, and I'll lead into it a little bit more. We're going to do that, and we're going to talk a little bit about South Star, and we're going to talk just a little bit about where we are in the season, I guess, right? I mean,
we're really pulling up on dead time because everybody is finally decompressed. You know, we're over a month out and other things are coming up and people are getting excited about the fall and football season's right around the corner. And so this is the time when things start to fall off. Before we go too much further, though, founder of the show, our great friend, biggest jerk on the planet, but we love him to death, Brad Steiner sent me a picture, and first of all, he was on the floor or the ground at Citi Field where the Mets play for the Foo Fighters, and then later he sends me this picture, of course, 5 feet away from Dave Grohl, and forgetting their other guitar player's name at the moment, but yes, of course. Brad's on the stage. Yeah. Can't be anywhere unless he's. I mean, when I saw him on the floor, I didn't. I just moved along, but I wanted to say, what are you slumming it on the floor? Well, like, what's up with this, dude?
I saw the same picture, and he looked like he was about 10 or 12 rows back. I'm like, you couldn't get any closer? What's the matter, man? What's up?
And he's the kind of guy that's going to be like, really, Brian? You're going to go see Foo Fighters again.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, what are you doing? Other than it is Citi Field, he's a big Mets fan, so I could understand wanting to go to the stadium, especially since he doesn't pay for a thing that he ever does in life. But no, of course, he makes it to the stage. So good for you, Brad. Good for you.
Good for him. And yeah. And speaking of, have you come down yet? Have you landed? Are the feet on the ground from Vegas and the dead at the Sphere?
Pretty much. I was talking to somebody yesterday that I'm starting to be grounded a little bit, but I want a Grateful Dead tattoo now.
All right.
I've got a picture. I'm not going to do it. These things are so expensive, but it's just a pie in the sky idea. But I'll send it over. It's a black and white picture where I was right in front of the Sphere, and it's the Steely, the traditional Steely with the lightning bolt through it rather than some kind of other design. Traditional Steely, black and white, and it's kind of pixelated because I'm so close to the to the Sphere. And I was looking at that picture. It's not really any good for anything other than just, hey, look, I was standing in front of it and I'll keep it for that reason. And I was like, that would look so cool on my shoulder, kind of fade down and have it be pixelated a little bit to make it look like the Sphere, and then maybe throw a date on it or something. I mean, I'm not a big tattoo guy. I got that little thing, I got that little thing, and that's it. And so I guess I'm not completely grounded yet, because that conversation was yesterday. I don't think I'm actually going to do it, but I mean, I've still got my, you know,
it's
got to
be the old man in me, but a pixelated tattoo doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, I mean, no. Well, how many tattoos are really that great of an idea?
They all look pixelated.
Well, I meant, and that might be the wrong way of putting it, but I wanted it to look like the Sphere up close.
Yeah.
And the Sphere up close doesn't look as good as a Sphere does a mile away because you're too close. And so I wanted to have a special feel. So anyway, that probably won't happen. But I've talked to some other friends who are going. They got the one more run in August. And I'm like, I won't spoil you. I'll give you all the tips. Let's go get coffee. Come on. So I'm not completely off cloud nine, as they would call it.
I had just one, I think, follow-up question, because I listened back to the show that we did, and it was fun.
Yeah, I rambled, too. I apologize.
No, I thought it was good. But I did wonder, and it's not just because of the Sphere, but because we've had, you know, people like Jeff Cuellar on, who, you know, helped run Bonnaroo for so many years and so many other festivals, and he's now doing cruise tours. And now we got the Sphere, and then we got Taylor Swift just, you know, literally sucking the air out of the industry. And you watch it and follow it as much as I do, which is, you know, I mean, it's not something we do 40 hours, 60 hours a week, but we obviously care.
Keep
about
an eye, at least, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what does it feel like? Does it feel like, and I think I sort of asked you that last week talking about the Sphere, did it change how you now expect to see a music show? Have you had any more thoughts about that? You know what I'm asking?
Yeah, no, not for me. But I could see that it could happen to others. And really those, and to speak of Taylor Swift and many of these other football stadium shows, And to the degree of what the what stage looks like now. It wasn't that long ago that the what stage just had two screens on the side that were basically squares, like maybe a little bit rectangular, but basically just squares on the side of the stage. Now they're life size from the ground all the way to the top on both sides. And behind the stage is completely engulfed. And that's just been slowly happening as technology has made that cheaper and easier to make a bigger and better production. And so like the Rolling Stones tour that's going on right now has these incredible visuals from that kind of aspect. Now that's nowhere near what the Sphere is, but it's still doing the same kind of thing on a smaller scale. And I think that could lead to people being disappointed in seeing smaller size shows. I absolutely think that could be. And it's also what's driving these costs. I mean, we talked about it shortly after Bonnaroo was over. The Post Malone show this year was unreal production. Now, that had a lot to do with pyro, which I always get a little annoyed with. But it worked beautifully this year for him. And these productions are getting on such a scale. It's almost like I use a clip on my local podcaster of somebody who was talking about a certain number you had to get to make any money. And he was talking about how he had to, you know, decide, do I want to do a show on a lesser scale to keep the prices down, or do I want to do a show that that I know I'm capable of doing? And this was a smaller thing, but still the same concept. If you can do something that's really impressive, why wouldn't you? And I guess the why wouldn't you could be because of the cost. But right now we're showing, we as a American consumer public are showing that we will pay the money for the higher end stuff. So I don't know that for the general public, that's a good question. Will this long term?
It's what we're going to be watching
change. But for me, no, I can still go to our local 100 capacity JJ's Bohemia dump hole and watch a rock band and have a great time. I can still do that, but maybe not everybody.
This is a really good segue into the rest of the show, but I want to make sure, is there any other news, any other things that are sort of hanging out there before we...
Not really that needs to be discussed today. I guess I will say one thing. We can talk about this this has nothing to do with the show or Bonnaroo or anything. Tacos weekend last weekend with those planes.
I know.
Like, when we're doing this show, we don't see that stuff. That's all post put in later. And I also was just kind of still in a daze from just getting back from, you know, the other side of the country and wasn't, listening to every word that was being said. I'm like, planes. Okay. Anyway, you done?
It's so classic Taco. He undersells. He's like, undersell. I went to this event and there's planes. And then I did the same. I watched it. I'm like, holy crap.
I know. And then I'm watching the video and watching these little damn planes. And he did mention there's a really small space and, you know, there's no room for error.
He said another word about that to me. But
there's no urgency in the way he said it to where I didn't believe that there was any danger. Jesus Christ, these things are coming in right where they're camping. If they're off by 5 feet, there's some real problem.
It's so classic him. What'd you do this weekend?
A bunch of planes laying right inside the bus almost.
I was up there with Indiana Jones. You know, no big deal.
I was really cool looking. I was like, I could find a lot of fun in that.
I'm going next year if I have to push his bus up the mountain.
And if you're not familiar with the geography of the city of Chattanooga, it is it's about as not great as you're going to find this side of the Mississippi anyway.
Yeah.
And Lookout Mountain is a jewel. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And so the fact that he found a cool place to camp, okay, well, sure you did.
That was incredible. I thought the same thing. I was like, man, he undersold that.
Yeah. And I couldn't tell if it was it was that. Plus, I was just not paying as close attention.
Me either.
We didn't have. So anyway, that looked like a really, really cool weekend. So I didn't. Amazing. I hope it didn't come across as like, all right, Tago, move along, buddy. Anyway, that pretty much covered. I mean, yeah, we're not breaking any ground here today.
No, but I did.
South Star, maybe if you want to look at that for a minute, but
I think we can talk about that later. It's still a little bit ways off.
In Huntsville.
I do want to mention, because I've sort of teased, we thought we were going to have the folks from C3 on soon, and it's probably going to be later in the fall, which is fine. I'm thrilled because what we're going to get is going to be a lot of fun and something unique for sure. But I did, you were talking about, and I'd ask you about sort of the industry, and it completely random you do another podcast, Stone on Air, which I recommend people go listen to. I do a radio show every Saturday, and we had a former local police chief on, David Roddy, to give him credit. And during our conversation, he said something that I literally, Brian, had to stop and get my pen and a piece of paper and make him repeat it. He said he was told years ago, and I don't remember who he credited it with, but he said, as a person in charge, you're either leading, growing, or running it. And it's Bonnaroo. It's anything. You're either out there in charge, you're either leading, or you're just going through the motions to keep it going, or you're growing. And in some cases, you might be doing two or maybe all three, depending on, if it's multiple departments and things like that. And I thought about that before we got on the air because of specifically the show that we have, which is with a bunch of people who I've alluded to are well-known to anybody who has anything connected with Bonnaroo. The Rubus guys, Mitchell, EDM Kyle. I mean, these are all names that if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you've heard them mentioned, or they've been on, or, combinations of those things.
Yeah.
And the thing that we've always said is that Bonnaroo does a really good job of adapting, right? It's not stagnant. It has never been stagnant. Brian, you know as well as anybody, those first 2-3 years when it wasn't Fish and Widespread and Warren Haynes and, the jam bands, people were mad.
Yeah.
You've sold their souls. You're all that kind of stuff. Well, they were adapting. They never intended to be a jam band hippie fest 22 years later. Right.
Yeah. I mean, to speak to the word stagnation, they came close to hitting that one time for sure, maybe almost twice, and that might have been towards I know the second one I'll come back to. The first one would have been that transition. I bet Ashley Capps and them in 2002 probably didn't think about 20 years later, and they probably did think this is a jam band thing, maybe going forward year to year and then reevaluate, because 2, 3, and 4, that's all it was. I mean, in 4 was David Byrne and Bob Dylan, and I think Trey was there again, and Panic was there every year, Allman Brothers. And then 2006, they brought in Radiohead and Tom Petty, and that's when that was a big, what the hell are y'all doing?
Well, they
still sold the damn place out because they were realizing these trends are going another way, and we've got to adjust and make those adjustments to be able to fit what the consumer wanted. And sometimes the consumer doesn't know what they want until you give it to them.
Well, and I can speak to that a little, because I had conversations with Ashley early on, 2, 3 years, 2, 3, and 4. They, and we've said it on here, he said it on here, the reason that Fish was the year one was because Fish had already had their own festival and could draw thousands of people who would camp.
Well, for clarification, just in case, so we don't get the comments, Trey was Widespread and Trey from Fish, right, in year one. Fish was on hiatus at that exact moment, okay. but go ahead. Didn't mean to derail
I'm
you.
Conflating the fans. You're
exactly. Exactly.
You. But it was, they knew they would camp. And they knew they had to bring people who would camp, and they knew they had to bring people who were connected through whatever it wasn't social media then. But you remember they spent $0 marketing that first one and still sold it out. So they
could barely even sell tickets online at that time.
Right.
Fish had just got done with the New Year, New Millennium, Cypress something or other, and it was such a success, and right. I can't remember if that was in Florida or Vermont. It was probably Vermont, either way, and that was the model, was that exactly. Look at this,
right.
How well it was. And
and so to your 22 years, probably then, no, I think they, if they were honest, they would say, we'll ride this as long as we can. But then they pretty quickly figured out we can't do this every year. So then I remember, and I don't remember which year, but probably fourth or fifth or whatever. So it would have been 08, 09, something along those lines. I started seeing the VIP areas. And I can remember being offended, you know, like this is not the hippie fest. This is not, you know, what I think of as Bonnaroo.
Yeah, 08 had Pearl Jam and Metallica and Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And that was really, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was
one of my favorite. One of my favorite years. One of my favorite years. But that was 6, 7, and 8. 7 had Tool for the first time, and 06 had Radiohead. And so those 3 years were transitional years. And while, you know, the music head loved it, but the jam fan was mad.
Jam fan was mad, and you started seeing these sectioned off areas that were, you know, VIP only.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't remember what year the VIP came in, but that sounds about right. Yeah,
yeah, you know, to that left side of the witch over
sure.
there. And we're like, oh my God, this is. But then you started to see the infrastructure, the real attention to the infrastructure, trees, grass, plumbing, grading for storm, all the stuff that nobody's supposed to see but me.
Runoff with stormwater runoff was such a big problem for so long, and it took them so long to fix that.
Exactly.
And then to quickly to the other stagnation time that they adjusted so well was in 16, and we all remember we were all, you know, fully entrenched in our Camp Nut Butter and are probably at our height of the amount of people, industry people, musicians. I mean, just some of the best, coolest people and connected people I've ever met around this time period. And that's the year the, you know, sold basically half the place, and it was awful ticket sales. And for me, for an old middle on my way to middle age, rock and roll guy, Tame Impala, Pearl Jam, and Dead and Company sounded like as good as it gets.
Yeah, not great. That's the year.
Yeah, but that is the year. And the quote came into the ethos.
Yep.
And but it just didn't work. And it was a really bad miscalculation. And it could have been the death of the festival. It very much could have been. And they just hard pivoted. And in 2017, Lord, The Weeknd, Rainbow Kitten Surprise I found them that year. They were on the Witch stage. Nobody had heard of Rainbow Kitten Surprise, and the place was like losing it. Cage the Elephant on Witch. That was the first time I've seen them. I wish I could remember other headliners. I'm sorry. But that 2017 year was pop music city. I bet the EDM was coming in heavy year, too. It had already started to creep in, but I don't remember the timeline exactly. Forgive me, but that hard pivot, and I remember at that time I was like, "What are you doing with my festival? You're turning it into a pop. What are you, Taylor Swift next?"
Right.
One of my favorite years. Yeah. 2017 is one of my favorite years. They sold out again, and I walked away saying The Weeknd is one of the coolest things going.
That's my point with, and that's why when David Roddy said that the other day, you're either leading, growing, or running it. And that's, you know, those are hard decisions, risky decisions.
They could have made that 2017 shift and had a bunch of pop acts, and it might not have worked. And Lord wasn't huge yet. The Weeknd wasn't huge yet. A lot of these names weren't huge yet. And I'm sorry. I wish.
But thinking you're focusing on the acts. Think about what else they did. I mean, that's when they pivoted hard with the different choices, the camping experience choices.
That's true. Like, yeah, and then the barns and the plazas started
Focusing on the plazas. And,
you're right.
What are you going to do besides the music? You know, besides the lineup. And, you know, I don't think you can emphasize enough. You can't do these things all at once. You know what I mean? Probably somewhere in somebody's desk drawer is a plan for the future kind of thing. And you can't do them all at once. You can't afford to. You don't have the people.
Yeah, and you can't. I mean, that's turning the Titanic around. You can't do it in one season, in one off season.
You can't plant a tree and it be shady, you know. It's not going to grow 50 feet in a year. type of thing. I mean, that's oversimplifying, but they planted trees, they planted grass, they planted all these kinds of things that now you don't even think about. But you and I remember, man, when people were fighting over 6 square inches of shade because of a pole that was in the ground. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was. So,
yeah, that's, I mean, you're right. The infrastructural shifting really is something to dissect. Yeah. To really look at, and I'd actually at some point maybe in the off season look at that year to year and see when the different things were implemented, whether they worked or not. But most of them do work. I mean, very few things have they added and then said, okay, we're pulling that back. I'm sure there are a few, and I'd like to remember what. And these are great topics for when we do talk CW later down the year.
The biggest one I can remember is Roll Like a Rockstar. Not the biggest. Oh, okay. It was probably the
– You want to talk about eye rolling.
Exactly.
Rolling like a rockstar. Get out of here.
Well, and they've said it was a good idea. It got a lot of attention, but it didn't gain them anything. So it went away.
Yeah, well, just for in case anybody doesn't know, because it was very short lived, you basically paid high end to come in on a tour bus.
Yeah.
And you could sleep. Basically, you come in like roll like it's specific to the name. You roll in on a tour bus, you sleep on a tour bus, and something like that. I don't know, but I remember hearing that thinking, all right, you guys have lost your minds.
Right.
But it didn't, and it clearly wasn't a success. And then they moved on, and you know, now we're on to different things like Platinums and Area 931s, which do seem to be working. And well, again, the Platinum, we'll talk more about that down the road in the off season too. But just lots of different ideas come from failed and successes.
Right.
You create more ideas, and that goes back to the leading and the growing and the other portions of those quotes.
And so along those lines, and this is again, when we were there, we did interviews, which you've heard from Happy Landing, Say She She, Michigander, and Gwar, and we also went to the Beer Exchange, which is going to be today's episode. We talked a little bit about it in our recap, but the Beer Exchange, Brian, for me, was the focus. This was the one thing that I was really lasered in on the weeks and months leading up to it, because of the people that were going to be there. It's not because I was particularly interested in exchanging beer.
Sure. Oh, well, I mean, I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have thought that's a little lame. That's fine. We all think what we think about whatever, but it's got a family reunion kind of feel to it, right? Like that's got a charm and excitement to it. And these are people that have been in the the ecosystem of a lot of these things that we do. And you guys, you and Taco and even Brad, know many of them way better than I did. So I've got to know them more since. And so I get it. I get it. Plus, it's just a cool party, man.
Well, that's
fun parties are cool.
It in so many ways, maybe the most high-profile way encapsulates everything we've just been talking about and everything we pretty much talk about every week, because here you had an event, you know, that was designed. It's a concert. It's, you know, 100 acts, 10 stages, whatever. You're going to go see music. But, oh, by the way, what else are you going to do during the day? Well, these guys, just like us, I mean, you and I weren't hanging out 15 years ago, and I wasn't hanging out with Brad or Taco or any of the other people that are now, you know, I speak to certainly on a weekly basis, in some cases even more than that. Same with these guys. And so somebody said, hey, can I bring a bunch of beer? We'll swap beer. And then it literally has led to group camping, which is a big part of the plazas, which is a big part of it's just the whole thing, you know, whether it's a domino or a building block, call it whatever you want. And next week when we do the GWAR thing, and again, this was what's been on my mind for the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months is everybody has similar kind of stories with suddenly you're friends with people from across the country because of this festival. And we all have so many similar stories, but they're all unique stories. And that's,
yeah, they're always similar, but they're never the same.
Never the same.
And
but somebody from Montana is meeting up with somebody from New York and somebody from Florida, and one of them drives, one of them flies, you know, whatever. But they all end up in the same place, and in a lot of cases, they end up at the Beer Exchange. And that's why I think, to me, it's such a cool kind of thing.
Yeah, and then that was the first time that I had ever seen group camping.
Yeah.
This year. It's the first time I've actually seen it with my eyes. I knew what it was, and I knew kind of where it was. And for years and years, I would give Brad, our former co-host of the show, and I would give him all kinds of hell. That guy hadn't stepped foot in GA except for the time we all went to one of those first beer exchanges. Right. I mean, that's almost completely literal.
Right.
And but so I would make it a point to get out into GA because I enjoyed it. And as the years have gone by, I do it less and less and less and less. And part of that is I just don't have the stamina that I used to have to just go on foot all day long. Sure. It's not because I don't want to. It's just it just doesn't happen. And so I enjoyed just getting out there again for the first time in a long time. And when I saw what they do,
right, exactly,
and how they tie it all together, which you won't see in what we do today. I don't know how much more we'll talk about it, but and we have mentioned already in our overall recap a month ago, I guess. It is one of the most impressive things it's I've awesome. Ever seen. Like, who coordinates this? Going back to David Roddy, like, who's the leader? Who is the one who is you've got to have somebody doing coordination. This stuff doesn't – organic is fun, right? Organic is neat, and it's all part of everything. Things like this don't come together 100% organically. It needs infrastructure, leadership. Who does that? And they do it so well, and it makes our campsites look like amateurs. And we have we've had some amazing campsites. So wow, it was so cool.
To be fair, you and I have not done it, but from talking to so many people, you're 100% right. For those who haven't done it, you can sign up for a group camp, and you have to have a certain number. I think it's 30. Or 35, right? I think it doesn't matter.
I don't know.
It's not five.
A lot of people.
You have to have a minimum number, and there can be 100, 200 in some of them. And so you can sign up. Like, say you're from Montana and you don't know a soul.
You can just join the party if you find the right people through Reddit or
somebody's
whatever.
Group, and they will hold you a spot. In some cases you can have your gear shipped, somebody will coordinate that kind of thing. So, and then all of a sudden you have, an instant group. I won't say instant friends. I mean, I assume everybody gets along, but I'm sure there've been some issues, but it's, some of them have organized games. Some of them do things together. They go to shows together. Some it's just a place for you to camp, put your head
just to make it easier because you got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
It could be that simple.
But but in the case
really of impressive.
In the case of like the beer, and this is the point of the Bonnaroo people, they reached out and saw an opportunity and said, these people have something going. How can we help? So there was a tent. Last year there was a stage. I think last couple of years there've been a stage nearby, and they've had some bands or performers or DJs, whatever. So they kind of help coordinate and give them space and do what they can, because it's a cool thing. And that's, to me, that it's just that whole growing. How can we make this cool? How can we make it work? And it was a huge crowd. But for me, in addition to that, we got to see, and this was my focus, and you'll hear it in the interview we ended up on the Real Rue Bus, Daniel.
First time I'd seen the Real Rue Bus, by the way, like in person. It's a very neat, very, very neat bus, and it has AC in it, so that was fun.
Yeah,
it not the best AC ever, but it better than outside. Hell yeah. And that was Friday when the heat was just starting to turn up. Like, it wasn't there yet. It hadn't pegged yet.
Right.
Sunday it pegged, but it was starting to pick up.
And so you had the tent with the beer exchange. You had the bus nearby, which was attached to the monkey bar, which is a whole nother thing. So you had this whole vibe. I mean, you literally could have probably stayed there all weekend and had a great time.
Well, as we talked, one of the guys we talked to said I would hang out right here. I'm sorry, I don't remember who was all on the bus. We were packed in there.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. You were going to Mitchell, Evan, Kyle, us, of course. Daniel was in the bus, but also Romy, who was our chauffeur, works for the festival, and she kind of wraps it all up. She and I think I told you the day before, Pia from Say She just nailed the whole Bonnaroo vibe and what it means, and then Romy said the same thing. So this was a lot of fun for me. My goal was to meet everybody. We got to meet the Ruham guys in person finally, Michael, Parker, and Jake. Finally got the hug and howdy. That was the whole point for me. It was just a lot of fun, and I just think it sums up in some ways, in so many ways, why Bonnaroo is just so unique and special. Because these are people we've been talking to for months, years, and we talk to around the year. It just stuns me, Brian, when I think about that. Why are we talking about a festival year-round? We do this show every week. That's nuts.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I hope there'll be a few weeks here we won't.
Yeah, they probably
but yes, most of the weeks of the year, and it's because it's such an infectious great thing. Yeah. And it's a if you know, you know,
it's a shared
thing.
Right. It's I feel like we're preaching to the converted here, but
this is the choir staring at us saying, yeah. So let's hear the interview then, guys.
Let's do it. Yeah, enough of that. So let's do that. Here's the interview. This is a bunch of us on the Real Rue Bus. You should recognize everybody. I think everybody identifies themselves, though there's a couple of people on here that the bus got crowded right there.
It got crowded.
It was a lot of fun. So here it is, and hope you guys enjoy it.
All right, so here we are. I don't even know where to start. We're on the on the Real Rue Bus. So the whole point of this weekend for me was the Hug and Howdy tour, which I, you know, made a joke about. And there's what, 12 people on this bus that I'm happy to hug and howdy and see, lay eyes on.
Right. I meant to tell you when you said I'll be quiet. I was like, don't be quiet.
Have fun. We're at the beer.
It's a Bonnaroo. She'll be quiet. But thank you for your concern.
Of course.
We're sitting here with people who have been on our show, who we've talked about on our show, who we've gotten drunk with.
Multiple times.
Handing out Malort today, and I hit that, which I'm going to regret.
No, I also regret it.
But I'm, I'm kidding. I'm glad I did it.
All I got to say is let's tag along the recovering alcoholic to the beer exchange.
Yeah, right.
Jeez, what's going on around here? I'm kidding.
Let's start there. Describe the beer exchange to the non-alcoholic.
It's fun. I love it. I love the brands. You know, I'm a big brand guy. Whiskey, I love it. And it's cool just seeing stuff from all over the region. It's neat. We've been talking about this like crazy. That's one of the coolest cans I've seen in forever from Common John. And it's been great. So yeah, I'm making total jokes. I'm doing great. It's fun.
So let me say this real quick. Russ and Brian and I have been so thankful and appreciative of everybody this weekend who's come up and said thanks for what you guys do.
Love it. It ain't bothering us.
But this group right here is kind of why we're sitting here. Daniel, this is your bus, the real Rue bus. Thanks for letting us be in here.
Barry, this is just the bus, yours and as it is anybody's.
It's ours. That's, well, I mean, not just the bus, but this whole event. That's,
well, Charlotte and I joke that this thing belongs to all lottery. We're just kind of caretaking it for right now. So, like, this year we have kind of, like, sectioned it off. So, like, the front is open and any of my friends come chill out and charge phone or whatever. This thing recharges us for the whole year. I was just talking with somebody a few moments ago. Like, a lot of the year, you go places and it feels like people are just bummed out to be there. You go Walmart and everybody feels like a zombie. But you come here and everybody's just hugging and happy to see one another. It recharges you for the rest of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Mitchell, who I pointed to, kidding. You and Kevin are largely responsible for this crazy idea, Beer Exchange, right?
There was a dude on Reddit in like 2014 that was like, hey, I'm coming through. He posted on Reddit, I'm coming with a whole bunch of beers from Florida. Is anybody doing a trade? I don't know where to meet. And we were like, hey, we're in group camping. We're going to have a guaranteed spot. And we know where to send everybody beforehand. Why don't you meet over here? And 14 people showed up and he wasn't one of them. Right. He came like 10 hours later because substance.
You missed your own party, dude.
Yeah, I know. He showed up 10 hours later with like a giant cooler and he was carrying it like Atlas. And he like... He asked everybody what their favorite beer was, and he had something from Florida in the palette of exactly what they were asking for. But yeah, it's grown from there. But it's Kevin does most of the legwork on the can stuff by a mile. I just show up and look pretty.
So we did a whole.
You do a damn good job of it too, yes. There, bro.
You carry that. Me too. Well. You carry that well. We did a whole show with Kevin on the beer, and it's so cool to see it in person. But describe the day. I mean, when we pulled up that tent, you could hardly get another person inside that tent.
Yeah, I mean, I took a few minutes to just kind of go outside. I mean, it was kind of bursting through the both sides of the gills as it does every year. And it was kind of the first time in the last couple of years that I've been doing this, is to like sit and just be like, wow, you know, it's chaos. It's controlled chaos, but it's. You know, everybody thinks me, you know, for this beer exchange or this beer, and it's not mine. We absolutely 100% do this for the community. We gave away 500 plus beers for free for the community. Like, we gave three kegs of beer away in like under 30 minutes for free. Kind of feel like modern day Robin Hood's of Bonnaroo. I mean, it's just, it's about this. I said this last night to somebody, and I will stick by it pretty much for the rest of my life. I will pay money. The same price ticket to camp here if there was no music, because this is what this community has grown. I really would. And that's kind of the day. It was chaos, but there's such a peace to the chaos.
So talk about the Common John Brewing that's out of Manchester and how that connection came together. I mean, it's new on my radar as a Manchester brewery. How did that collab come together?
Yeah, so funny enough, the Common John really hasn't been in Manchester very long. When we started the collaboration in 2019, we would have loved to had Common John here then, but they just didn't exist yet. Common John, when we were still doing the collaboration with Pontoon Brewing, like the week before Bonnaroo in the past years, Common John graciously opened up their place to us, and we kind of did like a tap takeover of the other beers for Pontoon Brewing, and through that we met LeBron and kind of struck up a relationship. He was really fascinated, and kind of as independent brewers, of which most craft brewers are, this grassroots type movement, this communal movement, that's a big part of how they get their name out there. And he was just latched to it. And we had said then in 2021, or was it 21 before the hurricane, we were at his bar when it all canceled, when we were getting in touch with all you guys. And LeBron, me and him kind of looked at each other and said, let's do something someday. And that was in 2021. And so fast forward to 2024, here we are doing the beer with him. And it's been amazing.
I have a question for you. I don't know if you guys talked about this on the web earlier, but I am in love with the art. Yes. Did somebody do this, or is it AI generated? How'd that come to be?
They have an in-house artist, Derek, and I apologize. I cannot think of his last name. He was here. He is, you know, I have no art background. I can't draw stick figures. I don't know how any of my ideas have made it on any of these cans, but it really is just it's an idea of kind of what the theme is and what we want to do. And then Derek, for Common John, their in-house kind of artist, kind of design, kind of just put it all together. So it's not us drawing.
Regardless of how it's put together, it's a beautiful can. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And then a lot of the, you know, the breweries, they do the just the kind of sticker on the can kind of thing, which is fine. It's budget constraints. I get it. This thing's beautiful top to bottom.
Yeah, and it.
I was I was at the post office on Tuesday morning trying to ship some out, and the ladies at the post office were like, "Damn, that's a beautiful can. Where'd you get that?" I'm like,
"Wait, were they talking about you?"
No, but they. I tried to ship it. They're like, "We can't ship beer, but that's a damn beautiful can. Where'd you get
that?" You can if you're sneaky.
You didn't try hard.
I was not sneaky enough.
All right, so I promised this was going to be quick. On the bus are people you should be familiar with if you listen to the Real Brew Bus or the our podcast, the What Podcast, Mitchell, Kevin, Evan, Daniel, of course, Kyle's in the back. But also on the bus is Romy. Romy is here because Romy works for the festival and was kind enough to give us a ride over here so we could carry our equipment. She did it 2 years ago and the storm came through. But we just kind of fell in love with Romy because she's got such a Bonnaroo attitude, and that was your first year. And you came, and we really wanted you to see this event, and you've been here for an hour, hour and a half, so you bring a different perspective. What do you think about it?
I think it's so special. As someone that I kind of see a way different side of the festival than everyone else, so I'm kind of in the press tent, I'm in the photo pits, like I'm kind of more behind the scenes, and so I don't get to spend a lot of time like with the campers and to see what the real culture is like, and this is so special, and I'm so grateful that you guys asked me to come drive you again. It's really fun. I got to talk to so many people, and people from all over the country, and so many different beers, and I just wouldn't have been able to, I wouldn't even really know about it if I didn't get to drive our little cart over here, so I feel really lucky, and like I feel like I got a really unique experience, and I want to come back every year. And yeah, it's just the you can feel. I thought it was really special that you said you would come back. There's no music. Like that gives me chills because it's true. Like the culture in here is really like tangible, and everyone is so nice. There's kind of nowhere in the world that you just walk around and everyone's throwing beer at you and throwing food and like, what do you need? Everywhere, like everywhere you go, it's like, everyone's just, it's like a utopia, you know? It's like so special and yeah, unlike anything else, I think.
That's why you can see why we fell in love.
Yes.
Very well said.
Well, that's all I got. We need to get out of here.
Perfectly stated, by the way. That is very cool. Absolutely. And if you want to drive us around later in the weekend. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, not really.
You guys desperately need to go check out the House of Yes.
Yes.
Something really good is going on. I feel like that has become really integral to the campground experience the past couple of years, too. It gets wild in all the best ways.
Cool. Nice. All right. Thanks, guys, for giving up 10 minutes of your time. Kevin, Mitchell,
thank
congratulations
you.
On another awesome event.
Thank you so much. And if I may, I need to give one last shout out because I promised him so much that I was doing it. I just want to give a big shout out to JT and Haley. I just found out today that JT and Haley, they met by chance at our craft beer exchange last year, just a drunkenly. Apparently he was wearing a Boston jersey, and she came up and she approached
him.
I said she must have did something. You said must have said something right in your drunkenly because you made her smile. So big shout out to JT and Haley. Thank you guys so much for coming. Happy anniversary. It was awesome to hear that you guys met for the first time at our beer exchange, and that's just another really cool kind of feature story that I think is just highlights this whole kind of ordeal. Thanks, so I told them that I would give them a shout out. I love you guys. Thank you so much for coming.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so there you go, right? I mean, I think I had intended to save that interview for last because it kind of puts a ribbon on it. But I think everybody said what we've been saying over and over and over, that everybody has a story and they're all unique, but they all have a lot of common threads.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody does have a story in every walk of life. Some of them better than others. Some of them worthless. You know, some of them not so much. And I don't mean to downgrade other people's situations, but at Bonru, it's that what do they call it? Hive mind, right? Hive mind theory, whatever the hell it is. Everybody is kind of in the same spot and coming from the same place. And there's like this unspoken understanding of what's going on here. And it might not even be able to be described. It's kind of, it's like this thing with the Sphere and the Dead show that's so brand new. I mean, Bonnaroo's 22 years old now, so it's ingrained in some people's mind, but it's like, this is something I can tell you all about. I can tell you all day. How long do you want to listen? I can go for a long time. But you won't get it until you immerse yourself in it in some capacity. And you might hate it, but you won't, you'll at least understand it. And it's it always puts me in a different place. I bring this up a lot on this show and on mine, and I'm a salty guy. I'm no nonsense. I don't like to sit around and get real sentimental on things that much. Yeah, you know, I have a dash of it occasionally, but I'm usually like, you know, let's not dwell on the sentimental things. Let's kind of get down to brass tacks, those kinds of things. But I go there and I lose all that.
Yeah.
From the moment I get there, really the week leading up, and then till I get home, I lose all that. It goes away. My leave me alone, I don't want to talk to you stuff disappears. I want to talk to everybody. Well, you know, the small talk is the bane of my existence.
Right.
Except for there, I'll small talk with you about anything. You want to talk the weather? Let's talk the weather. You want to talk about what you're eating for lunch today? Let's talk about what we're eating for lunch today. And that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world for me.
No, and it's funny. You said that when last episode when you were talking about the Sphere, that all you wanted to talk about was the Sphere when you got back.
And yeah, still do, kind
of. If there is one thing that we have heard from everybody since we started doing this show, and it's the reason we started doing the show, is you'll hear from people all the time say, my coworkers are so tired of me talking about Bonnaroo.
Oh, my God, yes.
I mean, have you heard that once or twice?
100,000, million, trillion, umpteen billion and countable.
We all do it, right? It's like, my people, they want me to shut up, but I can't do it, you know? It's
they're like, Bonnaroo, we Bonnaroo, get Bonnaroo. It. We yeah, get it, dude. We get it.
And I've done it. Yeah, it's like
I've learned to do better with that when I'm not around people who understand. I've gotten better at that, but that's because I've been doing this for two decades.
We all do it, and that's what's funny. All right, so Russ will be back next week.
Yeah, next week. I think we're gonna have a good one next week. And I mean, I don't ever do anything I hope isn't good, but I know. Come on, every week we can't do amazing shows every week, or maybe even tolerable shows. I don't know. I think it's going to be fun, though. Speaking of our, you know, people we meet, I'm looking for a reason to go to Seattle, by the way, because I'm gonna crash on Beth's couch. But
nice.
Beth's gonna be with, I don't even know her last name. I call her Beth
Howard.
Photo Rue.
Howard.
Photo
Beth Howard.
Howard. Okay, that's easy enough to remember. Yeah. In my phone, it's Beth Photo Rue or Rue Photo, and she shot the show. We've got visual evidence of it, and we've got the little clip with Grotius. We've got other pictures with, you know, in just a photo op kind of thing. And then most of us were at least at some earshot of the show itself. So it'll be pretty much a Guar heavy show from that Thursday, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And
plus
so,
her story. Which,
yeah.
As I said before, we camped next to them 3 years ago, the two of us with Nate, and I've said, and I'll say it again, Nate and I never stopped talking, so I never got to even really meet our campmates, because Nate and I never shut up, but then this year I got to hear her actual story, and it's pretty amazing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we, I mean, hopefully if we can all keep it up, we've now expanded our zone, if you will, for next year. And because our campsite has dwindled down just the three of us, which is fine, which is fine.
Just as, but, as a tease, she's another one of those people that came to Bonnaroo by herself, knew nobody.
What? And she's been since, I believe, like 05-ish, something like that. Yeah, so
long, long time.
Just about, you know, long enough to say nearly all of them. Right. So we'll cool. dive into Look we'll dive into it. That next week.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you, guys. I got nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. Neither do I. We'll dive into South Star stuff as it gets closer. Definitely plan on being down in Huntsville, and that the daily lineup was released probably even a month ago or so. But we'll get into that down the road, and plenty of other things, whatever else comes up.
All right. Thanks, Brian. See you guys. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, leave comments, do all that stuff. Appreciate you.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.